Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
Relationship is what we're talking about here today. You see, in this marvelous scripture, one of my great favorites, one of the great moments in the Old Testament, we have something more than history. But let's begin with the history. Jeremiah has been prophesying for 40 years that Israel is going to be destroyed. And when these words you just heard read today are spoken, Jerusalem has been under siege for over a year. The end is very near. There's no more bread in the city, no help on the horizon. It is over. The last king of Judah is about to lose his throne. The people are going to be exiled, the nation wiped out. It's the darkest hour in the history of God's chosen people. Darkest hour since they were slaves in Egypt and not a people. Nothing holding them together, no hope. And in that darkest of moments, that most hopeless of moments, resound these extraordinary words. The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors that I took out of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. You see, even in that holy proclamation from this mystery we call God, even then we hear the relationship husband and wife. That's how personal and how intimate the higher being we call God wants to relate to you and I. Relationship is not ball and chain, is not burden. It is sacrifice, giving of oneself for the sake of the other. When we give of ourselves for the sake of another, we truly find our deeper selves. That's one of the great mysteries of life. When we bypass our personal interest for the sake of another, in the name of love, we discover a whole new world. That wonderful song the choir just sang is made real in our lives when we live in such a way. And so here we have this higher being who gave us life, whom no one will ever comprehend, speaking through one of the great prophets of all time, saying that in spite of everything, in spite of the fact that these people, you and me, who have been given so much, have forsaken God. You see, it's not just a history story. It's about you and me, who live our lives daily, forgetting about the reality of spirit, the purpose of our being here, who constantly fall back in our old habits, in our old ways. We too forsake the covenant. And so God is not speaking to the Israelites of 586 BC. This is for you and me today. These are timeless words. And what these words tell us is that no matter what we have failed to do, no matter our lack of gratitude for being alive, no matter what we've done with our life, our Maker wants to try again. And just like the darkest hour that the Israelites are in Jerusalem, surrounded by the Babylonians, oddly enough, the Iraqis, even in our darkest hour that we've all had in some way, in our deepest depression, in our greatest confusion, in our anguish, our anger, our out of controlness, in our darkest moment, is when the word of the prophet needs to resound in our hearts. God wants to try again. We've been given life, and in this country, liberty. We can all eat every day. Everything is blessing, and we know it not. We take it for granted. And Spirit forgives us and loves us anyway. And so we are those Israelites who were liberated out of Egypt and forgot all about why they were liberated. We've forgotten why we are alive. Consider how all we do, you've heard me say it before, is react. We keep reacting to everything. We're just nothing but a bundle of reactions. And so many of us forget to find our peace, our center. And that is the place where the new covenant happens. What do we hear in this marvelous reading? I will put my law within them. Now understand, law is merely a translation of the word Torah, the great Torah of Moses revealed at Sinai. Torah means instruction, not law. Instruction in how to have relationship with the living Spirit. How we human beings passing through time for a short while can come to know the eternal God. Know the reality of Spirit. And not only know, but be empowered by it. And so we hear these words, I will put my teaching within them. So that we begin to act from within, not from without. Imagine a group of people who were not puppets on a string, who are not changeable all the time depending on what's going on. You know, we have so many requirements and judgments that cause us to constantly be reacting to something. Imagine if we were centered within, with a motive and a purpose to please God. Think how often we displease God. Psalm 51 has an incredible line in it. It says, against you alone have I sinned. In other words, all the unfortunate things that we've done to others, and all of us are guilty here. Ultimately, what we've done is sinned against goodness itself, let alone an individual. Against you alone have I sinned. And therefore, we are all in need of a healing with God. So many of us, like the Israelites who for decades had forgotten the nature of God, lived unaware that they had any options. They didn't know there was a choice other than to behave as they behaved. And therefore the covenant, the relationship was broken. A broken relationship. Many of us know what that's like, whether it was in grade school or in a union, spouses, or with a good friend. All of us have suffered the agony of broken relationships. But the greatest agony of all is to have disconnected with Spirit, the very source of our existence. And here we learn, as in no place else, that in spite of our failures, in spite of our mistakes, our Maker wipes the slate clean. We are forgiven. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. In other words, whatever burden we have of guilt, of regret, who here does not have some regret? Some of us here may not think much on these things and just go about our life on automatic, you know, like the wind-up rabbit in the commercial for the batteries. But all of us somewhere inside have regret. This passage is meant to free us from it, to say, I forgive you. Blank check. But it isn't as though you can just go on as you were. When God says, I will be your God, it is also said, you will be my people. In other words, you will respond. You will respond to the forgiveness and love that I give you, to the new chance of life I give you, to the new motive in your life. And of course, that new covenant became incarnated 500 plus years later after these words were spoken. So that not only did the Almighty speak these words to humanity, to you and me in particular, and say, I will make a new covenant, but then through Jesus, through the incarnation of a human being, he showed us how we respond to that love and forgiveness. And therefore, all those teachings of Jesus about love your enemy, forgive, and so forth, are the pathway, the way we live out that law within. Think of this, at the end of this glorious prophecy, in the darkest hour, your darkest hour, your most confused and lonely hour, your empty hour, you're told, I free you. I free you to start again. I give you the opportunity to live for me because I forgive you. You see, even though many of us don't think we need forgiveness, if we really dig down deep inside in our conscience and realize who we are behind our masks and our illusions, we all know we need that forgiveness and that healing. And then we are grateful for what is given to us. In spite of who we are loved. That's what empowers us to start again. That's the new knowledge of who God really is. Our Maker was once described by Leo Tolstoy as that the arms of the mother holding the baby. The baby doesn't know who holds it, doesn't know the name, but that baby knows it is cared for and loved. And this is the truth about spirit. And not only will spirit love you anyway, but spirit will come into those who respond, who say yes to that gift and live through us and give us the capacity to do what we can't do on our own, to give us the strength to forgive, to start again, to go on, to transcend ourselves, to transcend our anger and all the stuff that gets in the way of being the people we were born to be. This is what this message is. Spoken to all humanity and to you and me in particular. A new covenant. Forgiving everything, starting fresh today. Living from a new motive, not a selfish motive. A motive based on God's call to be the best we can be. So have hope. Don't give up because God doesn't give up on you. This is not for special people, for people with special gifts. This is for everybody. As the saying is, they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. They shall all know God. This is the potential for those who want it, for those who turn to God, turn to their Maker and say, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, for giving me this opportunity to start again, for the gift of your Son to show me how to start again. And then a whole new life is possible for us. This is the glory of salvation. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, awaken our hearts to your presence. Melt our hearts. Remold us and fashion us through your love, that we may be healed and renewed and empowered to be your presence in the world all the days of our life. We pray this in the name of our Savior who shows us the way, our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen.